is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Dale, and thank you for this introduction. And we are here in the Christian War Room, and today we're going to look at something which, to me, has been a very interesting faith in history. It's a phase, it's a period full of contradictions, and today, which I sort of greatly bemoan, is that a lot of Christians, or so-called Christians, are very apologetic about the spirit and time. And they start squirming around, and they take any criticism that's thrown against them from Islam, and they think this is just perfect, and this is okay, and this is what we have to do. We have to apologize and apologize and apologize. And what I'm talking about is the time of the Crusades. The time of the Crusades. Now, my view is slightly different. Again, from the New Testament, to me, it's very, very clear. On a personal basis, there's no call for violence. There's no call for taking revenge or for killing people or for committing warfare or for calling for war. There's nothing like that. Okay, but then there's another dimension as well which we need to look at, and that's a political dimension. If your nation and the nation where you live in, if your nation is attacked by another nation, if it's attacked by another culture, if it is attacked by another group of people, it's perfectly legitimate to defend yourself. And I believe in that. I believe that every nation has got a right to self-determination, and that every nation has got a right to defend itself from an aggressor. And what we had is we had an aggressor in the form of Islam, and Islam, within a period of about 400 years, started not just wreaking havoc in the Arab world, but the whole Christian culture, the whole Roman Empire, everything that's grown for roughly almost about 1,000 years at that time, was besieged and destroyed and attacked most severely. And it was calling out for help. The Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, which is the eastern part, the eastern leg of the Roman Empire, they were crying out for help, and they were crying out to the Christian brothers to safeguard them from the Islamic onslaught which was taking place. And they did. There was a call in the West for the Crusades. The Crusaders came in several waves. The whole period lasted about 200 years. They were fairly successful. And there were, I would say, good times and bad times as well, as in every war, where stuff was done which was horrendous. And yet, we as Christians are accused of having done the totally abominable. And nobody ever talks about what Islam did. Islam is a religion that's been manifested by conquest. The whole of the Middle East was Christian. The whole of North Africa was Christian. The level of learning in those parts in the Middle East and in North Africa was second to none. Okay, all the church fathers, or most of the church fathers, came from which is today the Islamic world, the Ummah, as the Muslims would say, and they were, guiding us in their wisdom and in the things they came up with. So, I mean, that is something which people very often forget. You know, they've been ravaged, it's been taken over. Then Islam had an onslaught on Europe. We've got Spain. The number of battles were absolutely insane. And again, nobody talks about it. Nobody in the West talks about whatever has happened in Spain. We had the scenario that harems in Baghdad had a good taste for blonde women, and they were hijacked, captured, and enslaved by Islamic traders in places like Spain, in places like France, in Italy, in Venice, you know, where, again, Christian traders, you know, took those women and were selling them as slaves to the harems in the East. So horrendous stuff was taking place. To give you one idea, I did a count about the Crusader battles. We get, and this is a period of 200 years, we get about 30 battles, yeah, which were fought, and very often they were very localized and they weren't great. Now, when you look at the Islamic battles in Europe, only in against Western Europe, we are looking, I think the figure is 528. So that is the thing. So when you sort of take this on a visually on a map, and in a minute we're going to move over to a talk about this period. I'm going to split this talk into two parts, but when you look at this map, the speaker is putting up a map, and what you can see is there's just like a few dots here and there, sort of in Lebanon, in the Middle East, in Israel, in Jerusalem, done by the Crusaders. But then you look at Spain, and all of Spain is just full. There's just one battle after the other. You look at southern France, one battle after the other. You look at Greece, you look at the place which formerly called Yugoslavia, loads of battles in there. You look at places in Sicily and Italy, again, loads and loads of battles. And nobody ever talks about it. It's perfectly okay. They can do this, and that's justified. And we have to apologize to, you know, for the Crusades which took place. Again, my point on the whole thing is that the Crusades, they harnessed the battle in the Middle East, and they provided a period of peace in Europe. It's interesting as well, when the Crusades were over, it didn't take a long time, and the Islamic hordes were at the gates of Vienna, and they tried it twice. So that's quite interesting as well. Didn't only took like about 100 years or so, or 200 years till this took place. Okay, let's move over to the talk. It's going to be split into two parts. You're listening to The War Room at BPN Radio, and we are talking about the Crusades and the Islamic onslaught on Western Europe.
As I told you on 9/11, I suddenly realized it was my task to make difficult books readable, which is what I've done on the back table. I sometimes describe myself as a man who reads big, thick, old books and writes modern, small books that anyone can understand. And actually, I rather enjoy it. I don't surf the web. People are disappointed when they run into me sometime and some other counter-jihadist, they go, "Have you seen my website?" No. I don't even go to my own website. I have very little interest in the web except for Craigslist and Yahoo headlines and Drudge. That's it. So I like reading big, thick, old books. I really do. But I thought when I got my books written, in which the Quran was easy to understand, here's Muhammad easy to understand, all these books on Sharia and everything were easy to understand, I thought, we win. No, we don't even have game. Because what I discovered was, other than a minority view, and trust me, you are so minor, everyone else's reaction to the knowledge, to the answer to question, what is the true nature of Islam, react in fear, hatred, and anger. When I try to explain to people something about Islam, they're terrified. So I thought people would run when I got my books published, and indeed they did run away from me. So I thought there was just one great question. What is the true nature of Islam? But I found there was a second question more important. Why are we afraid to know Islam? Now, remember I told you about stories? Here's the thing. My books are factual. They work here. But in dealing with human beings, if you're going to make a sale, any salesman will tell you this, the facts are secondary to the feelings. And where you get feelings is from stories, amongst other places. And I began to think about, why is everyone so afraid even though they don't know anything? Well, it turns out they do know little figments of stories about Islam that involve violence. And the knowledge that they were into the slave trade does not come as a shock, really. So remember I told you that the house of Sufism was like a palace with a smell coming up from the basement? Everyone smelled that smell. They just don't want to talk about it. But it's somewhere deep in the back, almost primordial mind. So, the problem is we don't know the history of Islam. We don't know the answer to this question. This is the world of Islam. How did it happen? You can ask very intelligent people, and they will not be able to give you the answer to this question. How did North Africa go from being European and Christian to becoming Arab and Muslim? How did that happen? And is that an important question? How did the Middle East go from being Christian to Muslim? And is that an important question? I think it's an overwhelmingly important question. All right. Now, to understand how that Islamic world came about, we're going to have to go about and see how Islam entered our world. Now, to do that, Islam entered the world of the Byzantine Empire. We know that in the Sirah, Muhammad's life, his last days were spent killing Christians and subjugating them. After he died, that process continued. So, let's describe the world that Islam invaded. Now, we're told that the Roman Empire collapsed when the German barbarians invaded Rome. Y'all heard that story? Well, that's false. That is not true. It is wrong. What happened was, after the German barbarian tribes invaded Rome, they set up their own version of the Roman Empire. They retained classical culture. They spoke Roman. They hired Roman philosophers and Roman attorneys to teach their children and to run their schools. They came into the Roman Empire not to destroy the empire, but just to get the goods for themselves. The eastern part of the empire, so-called Byzantine Empire, is over here. Now, this is after the German invasion. The important point is this: there was still a classical empire. It's not collapsed. Then, after the fall of Rome, the Byzantines gradually exerted their political influence till now this was the new form of the Roman Empire. This is the Byzantine Empire, and it is about to be invaded. This is the classical world that Islam invaded. Notice that the classical world is still up and running. It's critical to remember that. It was now weak, but it was still up and running. We're going to see what caused its collapse. Here we see in 25 years, three stages of development of the spread of Islam. This is 25 years' work. How is it that the Arabs were able to do to the Byzantine Empire what the Persians could not do in Iran? Here's the answer to that question. It has to do with Iran, actually. The Greeks and the Persians had been having wars since forever. All right? The 300 at Thermopylae, that was about the Persians. All right? Alexander the Great, he defeated the Persians. The Persians kept hammering on the Romans and then the Byzantines. And 25 years before Islam invaded, there was one massive last series of battles that left Persia weak and the Byzantine Empire very weak. Then comes along the Black Plague. One person in three dies. So the Byzantine Empire, when Islam invaded, had been weakened by a long war with Persia and the loss of a third of its population. The economy had collapsed by two-thirds. You think the Obama economy's bad? Try two-thirds. So, we had an empire that was weak, invaded by people with a mission. Now, what's important here is these three different shades of green represent the different caliphs. This empire is beginning to build here, came from people who could be described as the apostles of Muhammad. Why is it important to know that? They knew Muhammad. They held his hand. One of them, Ali, married his daughter. Abu Bakr was his father-in-law. These people are not just brothers in the religious sense. They're brothers in the family sense. They knew Muhammad like I know my wife. And what did they do? Did they go out preaching the Quran? No, they didn't. They picked up their swords, got on their camels and horses, and went out whacking Christians and Persians. That is, this is the true nature of Islam. Here you see it. This is the fruit on the tree. Massive destruction. Now notice something else that's happened here. Egypt is the breadbasket of the Mediterranean. Syria, the heart of the intellectual world of the classical empire. In 25 years, the classical civilization lost its ability to feed itself and lost its biggest brain trust. This destroys classical Christianity. Christianity that we have today is a bloody stump of the original Christianity. Why? This destroyed the heart of it, transformed it. The first stage of the annihilation of classical empire, gone. The heart of it's gone. Okay. A century later, notice over here in Spain, 750 AD, Spain is already Muslim. This is rapid fire conquest. This is going to become very important because this happened as it were in the life of a nation overnight. This brutal assault is the key as to why we fear Islam. Now then, you're next going to see history that you've not heard before. I'm not a historian, but I am a scientist. And I can reason from data. I knew, once I read the story of Muhammad, that I had been fed a pack of lies about what caused the Dark Ages. Roman barbarians didn't cause the Dark Ages. First off, why would these barbarians were Germans? These are the same people who made Germany. You're telling me they were too stupid to learn how to do Roman law and stuff? Of course not. They were very intelligent people. They didn't cause the collapse. But that's the classical theory. If you go to Vanderbilt, that's what they'll teach you. Here we go with the data. There has recently been a lot of classical ancient works that have been translated and put into a database format so they can be accessed. There's been massive archaeological research under the ocean and at the edge of the Mediterranean. From this archaeological research, we're able to track history and economies. All right, that figure I gave you about how the economy collapsed, that came from the study of sunken vessels. Because if you're not buying much, you know, if one in ten ships is sunk, that figure's not that high, but whatever. If you see a lot of sunken ships, there was a lot of ships sailing around. When they go down, the economy goes down. So from this data, we know a lot. And this, in particular, the database of ancient documents gives us 548 battles that Islam fought against the classical world. This is all new information. I've talked with people who consider themselves history buffs, and they go, well, let's see, battles of Islam against Europe. Let's see, we've got the invasion, we have Tours, we got the invasion of Gibraltar, we've got Lepanto, Gates of Vienna, collapse of... Okay, that's five. You talk to a historian, and those are the five battles they can scratch up. And I remind you, you can have all of these slides if you just send me an email for it. Okay, what does this new data show us? It shows us this. See the white spots? They're brand new battles. They're going to change to red. These are new. Every time, I want to show you this all over again. Every tick is 20 years. The new battles for that 20-year period come up in white, then they fade to red to show you the history. So white's what's happening right now, red has happened. Let's see how these 548 battles act out over. We're going to watch, in 70 seconds, we're going to watch 1,200 years of conquest. Look how fast this is happening. Bam! Here comes... You didn't know France was hammered that hard, did you? You heard of Tours. Watch what's happening in Spain and the islands. Now, many of these raids or battles, if they're at the coastline, are slave raids. The slaving that took place in here was extensive and went on and on. All of this work is also happening now then. We're now into the golden age of Baghdad. This is the punishment that's being handed out to Christians everywhere. In Spain, after one battle, there were knights' heads were cut off and they made a pile so high that a man on horseback couldn't see over them. all of the European civilization in North Africa is now gone. No.
Okay.
Now, pretty soon, and by the way, there will be a period of time, and you can see the clock running up here, there will be a brief blip of five battles that occur in North Africa, the Barbary Pirate Wars. We're on there. Okay? Now then, Byzantium has fallen. Now then, Eastern Europe is being hammered. Notice that it is relentless. It doesn't stop. This is the history that you're never told about. This is the history that explains how all of this came about. Now then, they're getting slower because Islam is becoming weaker. Corruption. All empires collapse from the inside ultimately. Okay. I say that what caused the collapse of classical civilization was not the invading German barbarian tribes. I say that classical civilization was destroyed by Islam. Now comes the question. Why do we not want to know that? We're going to answer that question. All right, now I want to give you the headlines. With all those little dots, basically what I've showed you is just quantity. Okay? Relentless, but quantity. Now I'm going to give we gave you 1,200 years of battles in like 70 seconds. Now we're going to go through in about 4 minutes. I'm going to give you the headlines from each century so you will know the emotional tone of what is happening. All right, 7th century. Muhammad sent Khalid out, the sword of Allah, to the Jazima tribe to offer Islam. They refused. He annihilated every one of them. At the Battle of Oasis in Iraq, for 2 days he spent out rounding up the losers, put them in a dry stream bed, and cut off heads until the stream ran with blood. He then took the captain of the Zoroastrian Persian tribe. His wife was there. He cut off the man's head, let the blood drain into the soil, and raped his wife in the bloody soil. That was one of the companions of Muhammad. This is the nature of jihad. Where did Khalid learn how to do that? From Muhammad. From Muhammad at the Battle of Khaybar. Umar conquered Jerusalem, and every Jew and every Christian became a dhimmi, which is a third-class semi-slave. You're now going to see, for the next few centuries, you're going to see Golden Age. We're told this myth of the Golden Age, how wonderful Islam is. So here's what's happening during the Golden Age. They started attacking Sindh, which is the Hindus. 26,000 Hindus died. Armenian nobles were herded into a church after a debate, and the building burned down on top of them. At Ephesus, 7,000 Greeks are enslaved. We're still having the Golden Age. All new churches were ordered destroyed. At Amorium, there was massive enslavement of all the Christians. The Egyptian Christians revolt over the jizya, which is the dhimmi tax under the Sharia. Churches are burned, vineyards destroyed. 10th century, we're still in the Golden Age. In Thessalonica, 22,000 Christians enslaved. Christians massacred in Seville. In Egypt and Syria, 30,000 churches destroyed. You have your religion, I have mine. Still in the Golden Age, 6,000 Jews in Morocco killed, hundreds of Jews in Cordoba killed, 4,000 Jews in Granada killed, Georgia and Armenia invaded, in Hindustan, 15,000 killed, 500,000 enslaved. Golden Age, still upon us. In Yemen, the Jews are given the choice of convert or die, the Christians of Granada are deported to Morocco, and in India, cities are destroyed under the order convert or die. In one town, 20,000 Hindus became slaves. Still the Golden Age. 50,000 Hindu slaves decided to get freedom by converting to Islam. A new 20-year campaign created 400,000 new Muslims out of Hindus. Buddhist monks butchered, nuns raped. In Damascus and Safed, mass murder of Christians. Jews in Marrakesh massacred. Tabriz, forced conversion of Jews. Still, we're in the Golden Age. There are riots in Cairo. Churches are burned. Jews of Tabriz are forced to convert. Tamerlane, one of the most evil men who ever lived, massacred 90,000 Hindus in one day. 30,000 in another battle, massacred in cold blood. Another Muslim leader takes 180,000 Hindu slaves. Oops, we're out of the Golden Age. See if you notice any change in tenor. Tamerlane destroys 700 villages in India. Now then comes he then turned to Iraq and annihilated the Nestorian and Jacobite Christians. The Nestorian Christians, half of the Silk Route in China was Nestorian Christian. The Nestorian Christians had emissaries and missionaries in the court of China. Afghanistan was partly Christian. All right? Gone. This is part of the destruction of the church that no one knows about. 700 years of attack, they finally destroy Constantinople. 16th century, the son of Tamerlane destroys temples, forced conversions. Two of his generals built two towers of human heads. Once again, you couldn't see over them. And then noble women, Hindu women, started the practice of sati, which was mass suicide, in order not to be sex slaves inside of the sultan's harem. 17th century, Jews of Yemen and Persia forced to convert, forced conversions of Greeks. The Zoroastrians are persecuted in Persia, and over 500,000 killed Hindus. 18th century, more Zoroastrian persecution, Jews of Jeddah expelled, Jews of Morocco massacred, Hindu persecution continues. 19th century, more forced conversion of Jews, Jews of Baghdad massacred, 250,000 Armenian Christians slaughtered in Turkey. Now then in Persia, the Zoroastrians are completely annihilated. 20th century, over 1,000,000 Armenian Christians killed.
Okay, that was talk by Dr. Bill Warner. The talk is called Why Does the Church Keep the Victory of the Crusades a Secret? By Dr. Bill Warner. Again, just to reiterate, you know, some horrible stuff happened in the name of Islam. And if you study Islam, it's pretty obvious where this religion comes from and what the origin of this religion is. But just to reiterate right at the end, what we need to do is, as Christians, we need to separate the Muslim who is loved by God, in desperate need of the gospel, you know, of the real gospel, of the message of salvation. And we need to carry this message to them, but also we need to know their history and what has really happened and what is this religion all about. We also need to understand, you know, what has been happened historically to us, you know, as followers of Christ in the Middle East, in North Africa, and you know, what has been happening with this religion. And lastly, we should never apologize for the Crusades. Number one is the Crusades. They were a political issue. They weren't a Christian. They weren't endorsed by the New Testament as such. They were a political response to what was happening to Europe. And if it weren't for them, there's a good chance that Western Europe would have fallen to Islam. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, that you have protected Western Europe. We want to thank you, Lord, for your protection in all of this, and also, Lord, that there's been a witness maintained even in the Middle East and North Africa. We pray, Lord, for the Islamic world, that your word will move in there, that the message of the love of Christ and the love of God will go back and will find its way into the Islamic world. We pray, Lord, that Muslims will hear you, that they will hear your voice, and that they will return to the God of Abraham, to the true God of Abraham. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.